Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
We're starting a new series. I'm excited about this series because it's going to shock you. We are calling it What Happens. Tell your neighbor, what happens? We'll be dealing with topics, what happens in the last days? What happens when you die? You see, when I said death, some of you said, So what happens when you die? We'll deal with what happens when Jesus returns. What happens Jesus' second return when he touches down? The house is quiet. Now, if you don't want to miss this incredible series, I want you to do me one thing. I want you to invite someone. Especially someone who doesn't know Christ. You know, I've realized a certain habit among Christians. When we tell you to invite someone, you get a fellow church member from another church. No, that's not what we're asking. I'm asking you to get that workmate, that the guy who is in your dorm. If you're a lady, that guy who is stuck on you, is stalking you day and night. I want you to tell them, I have plot for you. He'll be very excited. And then do you know what you do? Bring him to church to see what happens. So it will be an incredible, and we are going to focus this series on you, the individual. That's why we say, what happens in the last days? What happens when I die? And so we want to take you through the corridor of history and through the corridor of the future to see what are these events. How do they affect you as an individual? And what ought you to do? And so today we start off, we'll kick off by looking what happens in the last days. And every time you hear about last days, the thing that comes to your mind is the future. What is going to happen in the future before Jesus returns? And I've realized that there are many theories about that question. What will happen in the last days? I've had people say, don't forget it. There are no last days. Just party, live your life, mambo sawa. You will die when you die. But I've also had people say, you know what? In the last days, it will be dark. There will be no sunshine. There will be no moon. But I've also had some people tell us, you know what? In the last days, all of us will die. But around in 2000, something happened. Someone told us, if you are alive, and many of us were alive, we knew when we knock 2000, the last day will happen. And one of the events that marked Uganda in a negative way was during that season, there's a guy called Chiwetere. He told everyone that when we hit that midnight clock, the last day will happen. And over 1,000 people died. Now, with all these theories and undertakings and knowledge about the last days, I want to tell you that the Bible, in fact, has a lot to say about what will happen in the last days. And so you and I as Christians, we need to dig into the Word of God to see what does the Word of God really say about the last days. But I need to give you a caution. The Bible does not tell us the time he's coming. Because many of us say, no. When you see the moon turn like this and this, you know he is coming. In fact, the scripture says even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming. Only the Father knows. But the beauty about scripture, it gives us some signs, some indicators, when we will know that we are actually living in the last days. And to get to those signs, let's go to Matthew 24, verse 3. And this is Jesus speaking with his disciples. And if a word comes from Jesus, I would rather believe that than to believe all the theories around. So Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, what when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Father, we thank you for your word. May we receive it in Jesus' name. So the context of this text is disciples are worried, are concerned, like many Christians today, are concerned what will really happen in the last days. And so they even choose to take Jesus in a private place and say, dude, tell us. No, they didn't call him dude, but I believe if he was living, that's what they would have said. Dude, tell us what will happen in the last days. And many Christians are asking that question. In fact, the entire world. And Jesus gives them clues, what we call signs. And I want to go through those signs and so that you and I can understand that when we see the things, we shouldn't be troubled because Jesus said they will happen. The first thing Jesus says will happen, we'll have many deceivers and scoffers. Verse 3, 4, and 5 says, watch out that no one deceives you. Meaning there will be guys who will come to deceive us. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. So what will happen in the last days? We'll have people coming to deceive us. And us by Christians. They will come to deceive us. They will say I am the Messiah. In fact, today as I speak, we have people who say they are Jesus. Apart from the footballers, those ones I don't know. They just put the word Jesus. But now, there are guys who say they are Jesus. I watched a video a few months ago that showed a guy from Latin America and US. He has a following of millions of people, but they call him the Christ. But let's not go far away. In Uganda today, we have people that dress in white. And their spiritual leader is called God. In fact, I read a headline that said, God is sick. I was shocked. But he calls himself God. But that shouldn't be news to us because scripture says many will come saying, I am the Messiah. You see, the challenge with us Christians, we think that they will come and do bad things. No, they will come and do good things. They will do miracles, charitable work, all those things, but not in Jesus' name. They will do it for their sake. And in so doing, they will deceive many. And they will start teaching certain teachings that are only sweet in our ears. What people want to hear. 2 Peter tells us this, 2 Peter 3:3. Above all, you must understand that in the last what? Days. Scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. You see, scoffers do this. They ridicule and scorn the things of God. These days I hear people saying, soon the Jesus soon. I tell you, such a statement speaks a lot. We will have guys who are deceiving us. guys who are scoffing at us Christians, what you believe in. I've had many Christians come to me and say, there are people who, every time I tell them I am born again, they laugh at me. They say, does even God exist? They will teach us what we want to hear. It's all about my rights. Have you heard that? It's all about my rights. No, it's not. It's about Jesus. So watch out. The other sign Jesus tells us is this. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Verse 6 says this. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We will see increase in wars. We will see increase in rumors of wars. Nations will fight fellow nations. As I speak currently, the wars we are having have increased. Our neighbors in South Sudan have been fighting for the last almost, how many years actually? 50 years they fought with Northern Sudan. Now they have been, when they got independence, they thought independence will work. They've also been fighting for the last 7 years. Have you heard about Yemen? They're still fighting now. Have you heard about Syria? They're still fighting now. The war has taken, all countries are fighting the same war. So the scripture says, don't be alarmed. There will be increase in wars. But also there's increase in rumors. Every time I put on the television, I hear rumors of war. There are either trade wars, there are fighting wars. Everywhere there are rumors of war. And the challenge with war, war comes with destruction of people and property. But the scripture says, do not be alarmed. The other sign Jesus gives us, he says, there will be famines and earthquakes. Verse 7 says this. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. I want you to note it says in various places. Not only one place, in various places. As the end comes near, when we are living in those last days, the scripture says that there will be famine. There will be no food. There will not be water. I was reading and doing a bit of research, and I've realized that we are living currently in a season where there's the highest level of famine. If I gave you only three countries, South Sudan, Nigeria, Yemen, and Somalia, there are estimated over 20 million people who are dying because of lack of food. When I was growing up in the village, we used to have food. You guys remember who grew up in the village? Mangoes were for free. In fact, in SST, we used to do cash crops and food crops. These days, that question is not there. Because everything is what? We're in trouble. I never heard of famine growing up. But today, we have famine. We have kwashiorkor. I didn't start the kwashiorkor. I am telling you. Because everyone had, you could eat, because kwashiorkor is a lack of balanced diet, right? We used to have greens, mangoes for free. Now they are cash crops. We have to buy them. We used to have, greens are cash crops. You know greens, eh? No, but banana leaves are what? Famine. But also, research is telling us that the next scarce commodity in the world is going to be fresh water. By 2025, it is estimated that 1.8 billion people are going to be hit by scarcity of water in the next around 8 years. Fresh water. And you know, when there's no fresh water, it means you cannot grow crops. Means you cannot drink good water. If you don't drink good water, diseases and all that. But we shouldn't be shocked, because Jesus said there will be famines. There will be earthquakes. These days when you put on news, Asia has been hit with earthquakes. Recently, Portugal was hit with earthquakes. And this time around, everyone is saying it takes longer. Those days they would come for 2-3 minutes. Now over 7 minutes. But the scripture says, these things have to happen. The other sign Jesus gives us is increase in persecution. In the last days, Christians will be killed, will be persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. As I speak right now, I know some of you have been persecuted. Last week, I read in the newspaper one of the young men who turned from Islam to Christianity and he was killed in Uganda. And the Bible says this, verse 9 of the same text. It says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by nations because of me, because of Jesus. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. I want you to note that he's speaking about Christians. Never before have Christians been persecuted like today. I was reading a research that is done by Christian missionary organization Open Doors in the UK. It estimates that over 200 million Christians face persecution in the area of Middle East. But this is what shocked me. I read another research that is done by Holy See, and they reported over 100,000 Christians are violently killed every year. Now that looks to be there. That simply means every day over 273 Christians are killed every day. How many seconds do we have in a day? Almost, how many? How many minutes? We have 24 hours, right? So every hour we have Christians being murdered. But the Bible said that many Christians will be persecuted. We have a story in our young adults where we've seen young people getting saved in this church. And they can't go back home. Why? Because when they go back home, they've chased them away. So Jesus says there will be increase in persecution. So wherever you are right now, as you're facing persecution, I want to give you hope. Jesus predicted it will happen. So take heart. Take heart. In your workplace, as they persecute you, take heart. But I want to caution you, don't look for persecution. No, I've seen it these days. You know, some Christians look for persecution and they say, oh, take heart, pastor said. No. I'm not saying you look for it. But also the scripture continues and says there will be division among saints. There will be hatred among we, the Christians. And we see it happening. The fifth sign Jesus gave from this text says there will be increase in wickedness. Tell your neighbor, increase in wickedness. I've had people tell me, pastor, you can't believe this world is so wicked. I just tell them it's just the beginning. The Bible says there will be increase. Verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness. So wickedness will increase and the love of many will grow cold. But the scripture says, one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So what Jesus is telling us here is that one of the signs of what will happen in the last days is that wickedness will go to another level. You see, growing up many years ago, people were wicked, but no one celebrated wickedness. We are living in a generation that is celebrating wickedness. When somebody does something wicked, we esteem them and tell them, oh, that's great. In fact, today I was shocked when I was checking the dictionary of the word wickedness. They gave me another version. Wickedness means good. You try it at the end, not now, at the end. I was shocked. They gave me one of the alternatives. So wickedness will increase. In 2 Timothy says this. 2 Timothy 3:1. But mark this. There will be trouble times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their... No, come on, let's... So the Bible says that is going to happen. In fact, it's already happening. The last sign Jesus gives us in this text is this, that the gospel will reach the whole world. People group. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. When it speaks about all nations, it means in all people groups. You see, if you read, people who read this text 20 years ago, I believe they're wondering, how will this happen? And that's why there were missionaries and all that. People were wondering, how will the message reach the pygmies in the mountains? How will this message reach in the forests deep there, where there are no roads? But I want to tell you that this message right now, as we speak, can reach any part of the world. Because we right now have the technology to broadcast the gospel anywhere in the world. But that was not possible 20, 30 years ago. But now it is possible. What does that tell us? It tells us that we are living in those times. The Bible says that we will see Jesus. I used to wonder, how will we see him? We'll only see him when we have that technology. I always give an example that these days, there are certain conferences I don't need to go to in order to be involved. All you need to do is to have a phone and internet. And you will see exactly what is happening in the United States in real time. Friends, that technology is also being used to reach the gospel, to reach the lost. But I want to ask you a personal question. When was the last time you witnessed to someone? When was the last time you left the fellow Christians you spent time with and went and preached the gospel? People say, Pastor, it's too hard. No, it's not. So I want to ask you that during this process, during this series, would you make it one of your goals that I will bring someone to church, but I will also witness to at least one person? Only one person. And I love our vision. It says, each one reaching. We are not asking you to go and do a crusade. Just reach. We'll have no space in this auditorium. But now you may be thinking, but Pastor, is there any good news? You're talking about wars, rumors of wars. You're talking about famine, earthquakes. Is there any good news? Oh, there's no hope. I want to assure you that Jesus is still in control. Jesus has never left his throne. And that's the good news for us, that Jesus is alive, Jesus is well, and Jesus is still in charge of the universe. He has the last word on us and the world because he created it. So the question is, having learned that actually the signs are evident, that actually what will happen in the last days, we know. What is our response? What should be your response? I love the Apostle Peter. He gave us the response in 2 Peter 3, verse 11. He says this, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of the Lord and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, the elements will melt in the heat, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found what? Spotless, blameless, and at peace with who? At peace with who? With Jesus. So two things I want to highlight, then I conclude. Peter gives us two things we ought to do. One, we ought to live holy and godly lives. As the rest choose to leave God and his ways, and their love for God gets colder and colder, ours should be growing bigger and bigger. We should be stronger in the Lord. That's what the scripture says. We ought to live holy and godly lives. This means a life that honors Jesus and reflects the character of Jesus. Does your life honor Jesus? Does it reflect the character of Jesus? If it doesn't, you need to come before him and say, Jesus, today I want my life to reflect who you are. And I love that Peter continues and says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Jesus. With him. The other thing Peter tells us to do, we need to live with the hope of his return. As Christians, we need to put our hope that actually Jesus is coming back. Why is that important? The moment you know that he's coming back, you'll go through persecution. Because you know persecution is not the end. The moment you know what, I have that blessed hope is coming back, you'll face struggles knowing that Jesus is coming back. What I'm going through is not the final. Because some of us give up thinking the pain we are enduring now is final. I have good news to you. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, everything will be new. That's why verse 12 says, as you look forward to the day of the law of God, that as God is coming back, we need to have this hope that whatever happens, I know Jesus is coming back. And so you live your life on earth with a heavenly perspective. But you see, that is good for a believer. That's good for a believer to live a holy life, to live with a heavenly perspective. But you may be here and you have never received Jesus. And you may be saying, you know what? When I fall sick, that moment when I know I'm going to die, I will receive Jesus. And some of us are saying, Pastor, Jesus, it has been how many years? Over 2,000. Let us have life. I want to tell you, life is having you. We are living in those last days. Peter makes a statement in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. God's desire is not for anyone to perish. His desire is this, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone to be at peace with him. I decided to be at peace, to practice this scripture more than 15 years ago. Because let me tell you, your last day may not be the last days we're talking about. Your last day may be today. But the Bible tells us, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all of us to come in relationship with him. I want to ask you a personal question. Have you received Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings? If you have never done that, I am persuaded today that you need to make that decision. because we are living in those days. I've had many tell me, Pastor, I grew up in a Christian home. That's not what I've asked. I've asked a question. Have you as an individual received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior?
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.